This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Jeff Passan. And we're really excited to get Jeff on because the last few times we've had him on, it's been CBA, it's been COVID-19. We have monetated, actually talk baseball. Are you ready to do that, Jeff?
Is it actually going to happen, or are we going to spend a couple minutes talking about how much better this show is with Michael K. not around?
Such a great point.
No. Yankees.
I just figured you guys wanted to do that.
No. We don't do that.
I wasn't going to engage in it necessarily because I'm not sure I believe that.
This show works with the three of us on it.
No. You made the right call. Jeff. Don has Stockholm syndrome. He doesn't know how to tell the truth about his leader, Michael K. You're right. It's a better show.
I don't know. Your book was pretty damn good this past quarter, boys. Congratulations on that.
I appreciate you looking out for us. Thank you so much. You know, I find the Yankees to be so intriguing because it's almost like a fait accompli, right? They're the best team in baseball, and we know baseball doesn't work that way.
Really?
You don't think that people it's Yankees-Dodgers. Yankees are the best team.
Yeah, no, I think it's Dodgers-Yankees. I don't think it's Yankees-Dodgers.
Well, okay, I have no problem with that. But that these are the two teams to beat. And I don't necessarily disagree with that. But there's a lot of pressure on the Yankees because of certain players. You've got Judge, who needs to be able to stay healthy. You've got Stanton, who, like, everybody blames him for all that's going on. And then usually when a Yankee comes to New York, there is that period of adjustment. We saw it with Giambi. We saw it with Messina. We saw it with Tino Martinez. Garrett Cole's not going to be given that luxury. You know, you can't, like, take 4 or 5 starts to get your sea legs. That's half the season.
The thing is, Garrett Cole's awesome. I don't foresee him having any of the same issues that great acquisitions of Yankee past or, you know, supposedly great acquisitions of Yankees past have. I don't think we're going to see Ed Whitson. I don't think we're going to see Sonny Gray. I think Garrett Cole is the kind of guy who was absolutely built mentally, physically, and emotionally to not just succeed in New York, but to thrive in New York. And so when you add arguably the best pitcher in baseball to a team that was already really, really good, I can understand why there's a lot of optimism for the Yankees. There should be. But let me just say this. I look past Garrett Cole, and I got questions about that rotation, guys.
Sure. No, I can understand that. What is your biggest question?
Who else is going to step up and be a dude? Like, is James Paxton going to thrive in his walk year? Or is he going to turtle and get hurt and spend half the season on the injured list as he's done multiple times in the past? How does that horrible incident affect Masahiro Tanaka when we know the walk up to this season, guys, is very finite? You know, if this happened early in spring training, actual spring training, totally different story. This happens when you have 3 weeks to get ready for a full season. Or not a full season, but for a short season, that's going to be a sprint where every game counts almost 3 times as much as it would normally. And every start that Masahiro Tanaka either misses or every outing that is shorter than what it could and should have been had he not gotten injured counts, matters, has an effect. What are we going to see from Jordan Montgomery coming off of Tommy John surgery? What are we going to see from Jay Happ? You know, are the issues that his fastball had last year going to rear their ugly head again? Is Jonathan Loaisiga the answer there? The rotation to me is a legitimate question mark, even with Garrett Cole in it.
Does the bullpen make you feel at least a little better about that?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, of course. And that's why, like, if you can go to a bullpen, and after what we saw from Chad Green at the beginning of last season, you know, get rid of that first, I think it was like month and change or so. Chad Green was pretty close to Chad Green. Zach Britton's awesome. Jonathan Holder was surprisingly good. Tommy Kahnle looked like the guy that they traded for when they got him from the White Sox. Adam Ottavino, clearly really good. And then you got to roll this Chapman at the back end. And Chapman's not throwing 105 anymore, but he was still fantastic last year. It might not be the best bullpen in baseball, but it's probably one of the two or three best. Like, it's right up there. The issue, guys, is that in their division, they have a team that arguably has the best bullpen in baseball. And I think the Tampa Bay Rays are extremely well built for the short season that we're about to see. They have starting pitching depth and good depth. They have a power bullpen that has so many different looks. That's what, like, gets me about the Rays bullpen, that they've got guys who have extraordinary pitches. You know, Chaz Rose's slider is obscene, and Jose Alvarado's two-seam fastball, and Oliver Drake's little freak ball. I don't even know what it's called. It's, you know, Colin Poche, who nobody knows about, and is a left-hander who throws, like, low 90s, but because he has this really deceptive motion, strikes a ton of people out. I mean, there's just up and down that bullpen, there are guys. And so while the lineup is not nearly as fearsome as the Yankees, we saw last year how good the Rays can be. And I think they have a chance to be even better this year, honestly.
Who we kind of fantasize about the idea of, like, some random team that you just could not expect breaking out and making things interesting and becoming that sort of story. Realistically, yeah. For you, Jeff, who's the team that could be that bad news Bears?
I mean, I'm not going to, like this could sound like a very homerific pick considering, like, where I live. But I look at the American League Central guys, and it's not a particularly strong division. I know the Twins won 101 games last year, and I understand the White Sox have spent a lot of money. And, you know, the Indians still have quite a group of pitching. And the Kansas City Royals lost 100 games last year. But the Royals have a bunch of young starters. I think they're going to have a reasonably decent bullpen, and they can hit. Like, they got Whit Merrifield, they've got Jorge Soler, they've got Adalberto Mondesi if he stays healthy. You know, they're dudes in that lineup. And here's the thing. I think there are, like, five teams that are just out of the playoffs, you know, you don't have a chance. Orioles, Tigers, probably the Mariners, Marlins, and probably the Pirates. Like, that's a pretty reasonable group right there. I think just about everyone else, maybe not the Rockies, but I think just about everyone else has a shot at making the postseason this year because of what I alluded to earlier. Every win is worth three times as much as it normally is. Every loss is worth three times as much as it normally is. A three-game losing streak this year is equivalent to an eight-game losing streak in a normal season. A five-game winning streak this year is equivalent to a 14-game winning streak in a 162-game season.
Right.
These little bursts and the fact that there are only 60 games on the schedule allow for teams to really separate and differentiate themselves early. And in that lead, a small lead this year is a lot bigger, I think, than people recognize.
Oh, yeah. So it's tough to make up that ground when you just don't have as many games.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Talking to Jeff Passan here on the Michael Kay Show. How do the Mets, how do you feel about them?
Felt a lot better about them when Noah Syndergaard was in the rotation.
Right.
I think the Mets are part of that group in the muddled middle, where if they were to make the postseason this year, it wouldn't surprise me. But am I going to be picking them to make the postseason this year? No, probably not. I mean, it's just different when you got Syndergaard as your two, Stroman as your three, Mats, Porcello, and Waka to pick up the rest of the slack. And now you got Stroman as your two. You wonder about the bullpen. Like, I don't think Edwin Diaz can have a worse year than he did last year.
Right.
And I like Seth Lugo a lot there. And I think the linchpin there is Betances. Like, if Dellin Betances is Yankees prime Dellin Betances, all of a sudden we're looking at a much different team here that just goes power Diaz, power curveball Lugo, power curveball fastball Betances, maybe power slider Familia. Again, another sort of remains to be seen with him. The lineup, like, they're going to hit. I mean, Pete Alonso is, like, you guys know this better than I do. Does Pete Alonso get the love in New York that he deserves?
I think Lady got it.
He is awesome. Not just as a player, but, like, he's a good human being, too. Like, he is someone you really want to root for.
Well, he's not. We had this conversation, Peter. You remember, like in the first half of the year, I'm like, "What is it? I mean, why aren't people talking about Alonso? I mean, all they did was talk about Judge. And listen, Judge has got a better arm. He's a better fielder. Judge is a better all around player. But he was putting up Judge type numbers last year, and nobody seemed to bat an eye about it. And we're like, "What's wrong? Is he just not cool?" And my feeling was, well, because the Mets are lousy. And then in the second half of the year, when they got hot, and he finishes seventh in the MVP, and he wins Rookie of the Year. Then people started to appreciate it. And I think if they win and he's hitting the way he did, why wouldn't he be Darryl Strawberry? Why wouldn't he be David Wright? Why wouldn't he be, the toast of the town?
I look at the Mets, Don, and it's like it's such an American League team. Like, it really is.
That's why the DH is so big for them, right?
Exactly. I mean, they have three DHs. They have Cespedes, Dom Smith, and Cano. It's like they have as many DHs or more DHs than American League teams have. And finally, it's going to look like it's going to work out for them. I'd love to, I just hope that they have enough there in place to really get guys like Smith at bats and get JD Davis at bats and see what they can do with a fullish season. And I don't know if I just to me, the biggest thing with the Mets is going to be, what is your sense of urgency? If Robinson Cano gets off to a bad start, will you consider putting Davis at third, McNeil at second? If Davis gets off to a bad start, will you consider putting Smith in left field full time? If Nimmo gets off to a bad start, will you move Conforto over to center and put McNeil in the outfield and Davis sit third and Smith in left? Like, what exactly are you going to do, Luis Rojas, to ensure that this season does not get away?
Right.
And I suppose that's a question for every manager, but it seems particularly acute for the Mets, who have people playing in certain spots that may be there because of a contract or of something else, when in reality, there may be better options on the roster. How quickly are you going to go to those better options if it does reveal itself to be that way?
Yeah, because they stuck with Cano a long time last year when he was just not doing anything at all, but you can't really afford to do it in a season that's so short. Jeff, before we let you go, pending sale of the Mets, the trade deadline is going to be August 31st. Michael has suggested that there may be a lot of salary dumps this year. Can this sale go through to where the Mets could have money to be a player at the deadline? Was that too much of a fan question for you?
I just think it's a funny question because the notion of the Mets being buyers is such a foreign concept that it's something that I'm having difficulty wrapping my head around. And the fact that Steve Cohen's back in isn't a huge surprise. And if it ends up with him purchasing the club, then I think the Mets certainly are in a much better financial position than they are right now. But these types of transactions don't typically get railroaded through immediately. So the idea that they're going to go out and spend this much this year, when a lot of these guys are probably going to be available in the off season as well, like, that to me is the calculus here. Why would you go buying them right now when you can go get them in the off season? And teams are going to be so focused on guys like Mookie Betts and other players that if you actually have money to spend, you're going to be in a better position than anyone else. I said this yesterday, guys. I truly believe that over the next 3 years, the greatest asset that a Major League Baseball organization can have is not a good farm system. It's financial flexibility, because there are going to be so many teams out there that are struggling to figure out what they're going to do with players who they have signed a contract that they simply do not want to pay. That if you're in a position to take on money, then you're going to be able to get a ton of talent.
Well, let's hope the Mets are in that situation. We know the Yankees have been in that situation for a while. Jeff, this was a lot of fun, man. We'll talk to you soon. I can't believe we're 2 weeks away.
Looking forward to it, boys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.